All things are possible now that you're here.
Amen. If we open our Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 29. And reading from verse 29. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. And if we turn to Psalm 25, and reading from verse 14, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. And Luke chapter 18, and reading from verse 8. I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Father, we come to Thee this morning knowing that unless You reveal Your hidden secrets to us, then it remains secret from the world. But we are so thankful, Lord, that You have come down in this hour to reveal Yourself to us, and we know that it must come through a prophet, as You spoke in Amos 3 and 7, that surely the Lord God will do nothing unless he reveals it through the mouth of his prophets. And so we see that all the events that are unfolding in this day, that there is nothing happening but what your prophet foretold nearly 40 years ago, that these things would come to pass. And as we see the world falling apart, it is no surprise to us, because we have known that these things would come to pass, and surely they are, even as they were spoken. Therefore, Father, we thank you for the rest that this brings to us, knowing that you, who ordained the falling apart of this world, also ordained a new heaven and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness, and no iniquity will be found in that place. Be with us now as we study thy word this morning. In the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we ask it. Amen. You may be seated. Now this morning I would like to continue in our study of the message of the spoken word as the original seed, and I'd like to entitle this sermon The Hidden Manna. And Brother Branham said in paragraph 40, he said, if God contradicts himself, he's no more than I am or no more than you are, for he cannot contradict himself. And if he could contradict himself, then he's not God. The word's there, but it's hidden from the eyes of the wise and prudent. It's there. Jesus came the first time exactly as the scripture said he would come. But men had their minds made up as to how he was supposed to come. And when he came according to his word, they didn't receive him. And the Bible tells us, had they known who he was, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. And so Brother Branham says that the word's there, but it's hid from the eyes of the wise and prudent. That's why someone says in Matthew 28:19, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And yet in Acts 2:38, it says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus. They say it's contrary, but it's not contrary. The apostles went forth, and not one time in Scripture was anyone baptized in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, because Father, Son, and Holy Ghost is not a name. What is the name of the Father? Jesus said, I come in my Father's name. Well, if his name is Jesus, his Father's name was Jesus. You see? And so, what is the name of the Father? What is the name of the Son? What is the name of the Holy Spirit? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, notice that Brother Brown told us that God actually hides his words from the wise and prudent. And that's not his own words saying that, because we find that Jesus said the same thing in Luke chapter 10 and verse 21. He said, in that hour Jesus rejoiced in spirit, and he said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes, even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. Seemed good in the sight of God to hide his word from the wise and prudent? Absolutely. God reveals himself in simplicity. Matthew 11:25, Jesus says, or says that at that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Now we also see that the Apostle Paul told us the same thing, and we're going to find that out this morning. That God has hidden his word from the very foundations of the world, but that would be revealed in the last days. Jesus also said in Luke 18:8, he said, when the Son of Man returns, will he find faith on the earth? So what is faith? Faith is something that has been revealed to you. So faith is a revelation. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice. Faith was something that was revealed to Abel. He offered something that was a greater sacrifice than that of Cain. By faith, Abraham followed God. By faith, by revelation. You see, the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by revelation. So faith is a revelation. Something that's been revealed to you. So faith is a revelation. And there's only one faith and one Lord. And that's the faith of that one Lord, the revelation of that one Lord. Then when the Son of Man comes, will he find revelation? That's what Jesus is saying. And the answer is not without a prophet. For the Lord will do nothing unless he reveals it through the lips of his prophets. That's Amos 3:7. Well, let's turn to it, if you would. Amos chapter 3. And we're going to read from verse 3 through verse 8. Can two walk together lest they be agreed? Will a lion roar in the forest when he hath no prey? Will a young lion cry out of his den if he have taken nothing? Can a bird fall in a snare upon the earth where no gin is for him? Shall one take up a snare from the earth and have taken nothing at all? Shall a trumpet be blown in the city and the people not be afraid? Shall there be evil in the city, and the Lord hath not done it? Now, he's not saying the Lord is the author of evil. But he's saying that all these things work together for the good of those that love the Lord. Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants the prophets. The lion hath roared, who will not fear? The Lord God hath spoken, who can but prophesy? We read for our text that God has certain things which he has kept secret. Those things which belong unto him, he has kept secret. But we also read that those things which he has given to us, has revealed to us, are no longer secret, but they become ours. For he has given them unto us, and they are revealed. Now, what does the word revealed mean? Well, the particular word that was used here in the Hebrew word, in Deuteronomy 29:29, it means to remove from hiding. It was hidden, it's now exposed. It was hidden, it's now plainly made in view. Therefore, when God removes it from its hiding place, it is no longer hidden, but it's revealed. It is no longer hidden, but it has been moved from hiding, and it is now openly declared. That's why Brother Branham said God manifests his word, or interprets his word, by bringing it to pass. He said, let there be light, we have light. You see. So what is faith? Faith is a revelation. From Anointed Ones at the End Time, Brother Branham said, what is faith? Faith is something that's revealed to you that is not yet, but you believe it will be. Faith is a revelation of the will of God. So by revelation, and the churches today don't even believe in spiritual revelation. They believe in dogmatic teaching of some system. But by revelation, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than that of Cain, which God testified that he was righteous. Amen. I hope you see that. Jesus said to the apostles, who do you say that I, the Son of Man, am? Peter said, well, some say that you're Elijah. Some say Jeremiah the prophet. I don't know where they got that from. They said, who do you say that I am? And Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus looked him right in the eye. And he said, blessed art thou, Simon, for flesh and blood did not reveal that to you, but my Father, which is in heaven, has revealed that to you. And upon this rock, not you, Peter denied Christ three times. How could God build his church upon Peter? But upon this rock, this revelation that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So the church is built on revelation, whether the denominational churches want to believe that or not. And since it is revealed, then at one time it had to be hidden. That is the essence of revelation. Now, in order to understand this, we must ask ourselves this question. Since faith is something that is revealed, and to be revealed it had to be hidden, then how is this possible? Can anyone tell me what has to happen in order for something that God has hidden to be revealed? What has to happen? Well, only two things can happen. Either God takes this thing out from its hiding place and reveals it openly to all, or he takes us into this hiding place where he has it hidden. And I believe the second is what God does. He takes us into this hiding place, and that hidden place is in Christ. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 6, Paul says, and if you'd open your Bibles with me, we have fairly few scriptures here. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6, we read, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Hidden wisdom, but God ordained it for our glory. Our glory. Which none of the princes of the world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. Well, there's only one the Spirit. That's God's Spirit. For what a man knows, for what man knoweth the things of a man, except the spirit of man be in him? Like Brother Branham said, the knot on a tree, he doesn't understand how we walk, talk, think. It's a knot on a tree. You see? An animal doesn't understand how you act, why you act, why one minute you might be loving the little animal, next minute you might be upset with the animal. They don't understand. It's their nature. A lion is a lion. It's like a man one time, he was walking across a field, frozen field, and he saw a frozen snake all coiled up, just frozen. Oh, he felt sorry for the thing, so he put it into his bosom. He began to walk, and as the snake began to unthaw, the snake began to bite the man. The man, as he's dying, laying there in the frozen field, dying from this venom flowing through his body, he said to the snake, after I did such a kindness for you, why did you bite me? And the snake said, well, you don't understand. A snake is a snake. It's just a thing, that's what snakes do. You see? What man knoweth the things of a man, except the spirit of man be in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man. No man. Save the spirit of man. Excuse me, but the spirit of God. Or as it says here, actually, but the spirit of God knoweth. Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the spirit of God knows. Now, we have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. How can you know God's Word unless the Spirit that wrote that Word is in you? You see, that's what he's saying. which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they're foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. In Isaiah 55 and verse 8, God says, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts." Then how are you going to understand the thoughts of God, which are so higher than the thoughts of man, unless God reveals them to you? So we're dependent upon revelation. You see, even David in the Psalms, Psalm 103, verse 7, he said, "He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel." So the people could see what God was doing. They could see his acts, the supernatural way in which he did things. But they had no clue as to the purpose and the plan that God was doing those things for. But Moses did, because God revealed them unto Moses. Moses knew because God had made known his ways unto Moses. But only the acts themselves were made known to the people, because you would have to be blind not to see those acts. So God reveals his mind to his prophets and then to the people, as we read in Amos chapter 3, verse 7. "Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants the prophets." Now the scripture tells us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 that the Lord himself shall descend from the heavens with a shout. And if it were not for a vindicated prophet, we would have no clue to the meaning of that scripture. Let's turn in our Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and reading from verse 13. And we're going to read through verse 18. "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren." God doesn't want a bunch of ignoramuses. He doesn't want us just ignorant, dumb, like driven cattle. He wants us to have his mind. He said, "Let the mind that was in Christ be in you." "I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the parousia," the coming of the Lord, that word is parousia of the Lord, "shall not prevent them which are asleep." We won't hinder them. "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words." But how can you comfort one another if you don't know what those words mean? It's like, man, they think, well, when you go to heaven, you're up in a cloud someplace, because he says, then we which are alive remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so they think somehow up in the clouds we're going to be playing harps, you know, the rest of your eternity. But they don't take that with the other scripture that says that God himself will create a new heaven and a new earth. And we'll go to the New Jerusalem and live on this earth, not up in the clouds like a spirit just playing a harp, but living in earth where God meant for us to live for an eternity. So it says the Lord Himself, God Himself, shall descend from heaven with a shout. Well, how are you going to know what that shout is? What the voice is, what the trump is? Unless God reveal it to you. And how does God reveal anything to you? Through a prophet. Now the rest of the world cannot, they can only guess what that is. Some believe it's the rapture, which is partly true. But without a vindicated prophet, we would have no clue as to what this shout is. The Greek word is kalousma. It means a military command. So the Lord Himself is going to descend with a military command. What does that mean? What does it mean? With a voice and with a trump. What do those things mean? But we have been privileged to know because we have accepted the prophet that God gave to us in this hour, the prophet of Malachi 4. We know that the shout is a message to gather the people together, gathering them to Christ the Word. The voice is the literal voice that raised Lazarus from the dead, the same voice, the voice of God. And the trump is the catching away, the going home to the wedding supper. In Malachi chapter 4, verse 1, we read, "For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven. And all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly, shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you, unto you that fear my name." Here's a different group of people, not stubble. "But unto you that fear my name, shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings," healing campaigns. "And he shall go forth and grow up as calves released from the stall. And he shall tread down the wicked, and they shall become ashes under the soles of your feet. In the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. Remember ye the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb, for all of Israel, with the statutes and judgments." What was the commandment that God gave to Israel? Deuteronomy chapter 18 and chapter 13. He said, "The Lord God will do nothing." He said, "I will raise up unto you a prophet from amongst your brethren, like unto me. Him shall you hear in all things that he saith. And he that will not hear him," what happens to him? "He shall be destroyed," the Bible says. "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord." So let me ask the church world, where is he? We know that we're at the end time. You can just look around. There's wars and rumors of wars. The wealth of the world suddenly overnight is diminished by trillions and trillions of dollars. Man's efforts to make a little heaven here for himself is becoming of none effect. And yet we're living in the Laodicean church age that says they're blind and miserable and naked and don't even know it because they're rich and increased with goods. Their focus is on their richness and their increased goods, but they don't realize they're spiritually blind. "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord." Where is he? We all know, I believe he's come. He's already come with a message. "And he shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse." We're already seeing the curse in the earth. Deuteronomy 28. If you obey the voice of the Lord your God, he said, you'll be blessed when you come in, blessed when you go out. Blessed in the field, blessed in the house, blessed in the city. You'll be the lender and not the borrower. You'll be the head, not the tail. But Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 15 says, "But if you don't hearken to the voice of the Lord your God then all these blessings shall become curses to you. You shall be the borrower and not the lender. And remember, the Bible tells us that the borrower is a debtor. He's the debtor. He's in bondage to the one who lends. You should be the tail and not the head. And all of these curses shall come upon thee. Cursed shalt thou be in the city. Cursed shalt thou be in the country, in the field. Cursed shall be thy basket. Cursed shall be this, that, and the other. We know, we've read it many times. And yet he says that if he doesn't turn the hearts of the children to the fathers, I believe that's the apostolic fathers, this Bible, he said, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Now, why is the entire world, global system right now, financial, political, why is it all in turmoil? Health systems, why is it all in turmoil? Because they have turned down the voice of the Lord their God. They've turned down the Elijah prophet God promised to send. And thus there's nothing left but cursing. And so concerning the end time rapture of the elect, we know a lot about it because we have accepted what William Branham, prophet of God, told us concerning those things. And in his rapture sermon, William Branham told us what the shout, the voice, and the trump of God were all about. Now, why do we believe in a vindicated prophet? Because that word, vindicated. Vindicated means proven. And how do you prove a prophet? The Bible says if he comes with thus saith the Lord, and it doesn't fall to the ground, then you better hear him, you better fear the man. Not the man, but God who's speaking. Because thus saith the Lord is not thus saith William Branham. It's not thus saith you and I. Thus saith the Lord is what the Lord has already said thus. So a prophet then is a messenger. He's coming with a message, not his own message. It's the Lord himself descended with a shout. The Lord himself descended with a message. And so in his sermon, The Rapture, Brother Branham used Psalm 27 and verse 5 as one of his texts. For in the time of trouble shall he hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. His tabernacle, not a tabernacle. His tabernacle shall he hide me. So where is this hiding place? Where is this hidden place? In Psalm 31 verse 20, thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. Where are we kept from the strife of tongues? In His presence, the secret coming of the Lord. Psalm 91, verse 1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Now those things which are no longer hidden and have been given to us is His Word. But while they were hidden, they were in essence still a mystery. Paul said in Ephesians 3 and verse 3, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery as I wrote afore in few words. How did Paul know so many things? Because God revealed those things to Paul. Now God does not unveil. He does not reveal those great deep secret things to just anyone. You have got to be in the elect group in order for him to do those things, to reveal those things to you. In Matthew chapter 13, if you'd read with me, please, in your Bibles. Beginning at verse 10. And the disciples came, and they said unto him, why do you speak unto them in parables? Now reading this same story in the book of Mark, they said, why do you speak to them on the outside in parables? And he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them on the outside it's not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance, but whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he thinks that he has. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because they seeing, see not. And hearing, they hear not. Neither do they understand, and in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing you shall hear, and shall not understand. And seeing you shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you have seen, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear, and have not heard them. What a blessedness it is to be amongst those whom God has ordained to see the things which God has given to us to see. Because you talk of these things to the rest of the world and they just look at them and they think you're crazy. In Mark 4, verse 11, and he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables. Mark 11, 4, 11. That seeing ye may see and not perceive, and hearing ye shall hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. And he said unto them, know ye not this parable? And how then will you know all parables? The sower soweth the word. So he's talking about the word. He's talking, he says, blessed are you because you see. And seeing you understand and you can perceive. But those on the outside, he says, unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables. That seeing they might see, but they don't understand. Hearing they might hear, but they don't perceive. It's like you're speaking Greek to them. In Matthew 13, 34, he says, and all these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them. So what is a parable? It's something that's spoken in like a riddle. It's like a little story. Jesus spoke in stories. Why? Because you can take a parable, you can take a riddle or a story and go 100 directions with it. But if you understand what he's talking about, then the story just kind of nails down the point that he's bringing across. All these things spake Jesus unto them in parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundations of the world. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. In other words, we just heard the story you tell, Jesus, but we want to know the inside facts. We want to know between the lines what you're saying. In Mark 4:22, he said, but there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret but that shall come abroad. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And he saith unto them, take heed what you hear. With what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you. And unto you that hear more, or hear, shall more be given. For he that hath, to him shall be given. And he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath or thinks he has. He said, be careful how you hear. Well, I thought I'd hear with my ears. He's saying, don't let a filter be over your mind, so that when you hear something, you already have your mind made up. Let me read that again. Take heed what you hear, for with what measure you meet. Whatever your ruler, your measuring stick. If you're a Baptist, you're going to see this Bible as a Baptist Bible. If you're Pentecostal, you're going to see this Bible as a Pentecostal Bible. Because you already have your mind made up. I did a little study one time at a church down in Missouri. They've been following a false ministry for many, many years, about 20 years. Finally, the people wised up. They broke out from that. So there's about 80 people in the congregation, and I put a little stuffed animal under a blanket in front, and I read the scripture to them. And I said, now, what do you see? just had a blanket there, a little bump. Somebody raised their hand and said, I see a bump. I said, well, that's good. We write down bump. What else do you see? Somebody said, I see a lump. Well, I said, a lump, a bump, same thing, but we'll just write it down. Anything else? One guy says, yeah, I see that there's a covering. I said, that's good. You see a veil. That's good. But I said, now, see anything else? They said, no. I said, that's how people know God. They don't know God. But He's revealed through His Word. Now, I'm going to give you words to reveal what's hidden. And so I said, the first word is this. This thing that is hidden has four legs. And it can jump little fences. Now, I had planted seeds in people's mind because before I began the service, I gave a little note to a group over here. Said, every time you hear that attribute, I want you to think puppy dog. Gave a group over here a note. I said, every time you hear an attribute, I want you to think bunny rabbit. Gave a note to the people in the back. I said, every time you hear an attribute, don't think until you hear all the attributes. Don't make up your mind. So, I looked at the people over here. I said, now, it's got four legs. It can jump little fences. And so these puppy dog people, they're thinking, yeah, that's right, that's right. See, we know what's there. Nobody else does. We know what's under there. Nobody else does. And the bunny rabbit people are thinking the same thing. Yeah, that's right. Four little feet, four little legs. He can jump fences. Yeah, that's a bunny rabbit. We know it's there, but the rest of people don't. Well, the next one was he has a beautiful outer coat. Well, I imagine by this time they're thinking maybe that's Lassie. You know, a little collie dog, got a beautiful outer coat. People over here, bunny rabbit. Oh, yeah, bunny rabbit's got a beautiful outer coat. I said he has a very gentle nature. Puppy dog people? Oh, yeah, puppy dogs have gentle nature. Bunny rabbit people? Oh, yeah, bunny rabbits have very gentle nature. I said he's self-sacrificial in nature. Puppy dog people? Maybe by this time they're thinking Rin Tin Tin. Or they're thinking, you know, Lassie. Going there into the flames of the fire. And yeah, he's self-sacrificial. Get the people, bunny rabbit people, they probably thought, well, yeah, you raise them up to eat them. I had no idea what on their mind. Finally, I said, a shepherd boy's friend. Puppy dog people? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Maybe a little collie dog out there in the field. But the bunny rabbit people? They said, yeah. Yeah. So finally, I said, what is it? And the group in the back, they said, it's a lamb. And when I uncovered the lamb, if words could kill, if looks could kill, those people that had the pre-planted thought in their mind, they would have killed me. I would not have gotten out of that church. But I told them, I said, I allowed you to deceive yourself so that you will never be deceived again. You see, Jesus said, blessed are your eyes for you see. But I speak in parables. And he said, the measure you meet is what you're going to get back. So if you are a Baptist, you will only go as far as a Baptist can go. If you are a Pentecostal, you can only go as far as a Pentecostal goes. And you will avoid scriptures that don't make sense to you. And he that does not take all the word, his name is taken from the book of life. Jesus said, add one word, you get the plagues. Tribulation. Take one word away, and your name will be taken from the book of life. That's how important the word of God is. All that the prophet spoke. Jesus said, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. In Luke 8:17, for nothing is secret that shall not be manifested, neither anything hid that shall not be made known and come abroad. Take heed therefore how you hear, for whosoever hath to him shall be given. And whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have. But once they have been given to us, once it's been revealed to us, what are we to do with them? After all, these things that God has kept secret from age to age, but has now made them known to us by allowing us to enter into His presence, where they had been kept secret, hidden from before the world began? What is it supposed to do for us? Colossians 1:26 says, even the mystery which hath been hid from age to age, from generation to generation, but now is made manifest to His saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of His mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Obama talks about a hope. My hope is in Christ. Our hope is built in Jesus Christ and His righteousness. Colossians 2 and 12. Any hope that's outside of Christ, let me tell you, is a false hope. There's no man that's going to fix the system. I don't care who. There's no man that's going to fix the system. The system has gone down because of the greed and avarice of men. In Colossians 2 and 2, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So once we have received the hidden things of God, we then become stewards of those things, because this is a great sacred trust that God has placed in our keeping. In 1 Corinthians 4, verse 1, he says, let a man so account of us as the ministers of Christ and as stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in a steward that a man must be found faithful, he says. Ephesians 3 and 9, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the world hath been hidden God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him. Not our faith in Him, but His faith. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I'm living. Yet it's not I living, but Christ is living in me. And the life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. His faith, He went to the cross, not you and I. And when He went to the cross, He went for you and I. And having His faith that He had in God, that God would raise Him from the dead. Paul said, if the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead be in you, it'll also quicken your mortal bodies. Ephesians 1 and 8, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to the good pleasure which He hath purposed in Himself. Proverbs 3 and 32 says, for the froward is an abomination to the Lord, but His secret is with the righteous. Daniel 2 and verse 20. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are His. And He changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with Him. I thank Thee and praise Thee, O Thou God of my fathers, who hast given me wisdom and might, and hast made known unto me now what we desired of Thee, for Thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter. So God revealing to Daniel those things. Romans 16:25, now to Him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest or brought into full view by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. To God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. Isaiah 48 and verse 5. I have even from the beginning declared it to thee. Before it came to pass, I showed it to thee. Lest thou shouldest say, mine idol hath done them, and my graven image, and my idol, my rabbit's foot. And my molten image hath commanded them. Thou hast heard, see all this, and will not ye declare it? I have showed thee new things from this time, even hidden things, and thou didst not know them. They are created now, and not from the beginning, even before the day when thou heardest them not, lest thou shouldest say, behold, I knew them. So God shows you before they even come to pass, so that you might believe God is in control of all these things. Revelation 2 and verse 17, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. And Luke 4, verse 17, and there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place wherein it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, and he gave it unto again to the minister, and he sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened upon him. And he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. God interpreting his word by bringing it to pass. And in closing, from Revelation 20, verse 11, and I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on him, whose face was face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the book according to their works. And from the 70 weeks of Daniel, Brother Branham said, it's laying back in that condition. And that only shows that this is just a period of time. Can't you see? God don't have things out of cater. He's just letting it run like that for a little time. And I truly believe that that thing was done. And at this last days is when God is going to reveal these secrets to the church. It hasn't done it before, and the reason he hasn't done it is to keep the church a-watching and praying all the time, not knowing when it was coming. But you remember in Daniel 12, he said, the wise shall understand in the last days. In this last days. It's been given to him. The spirit of wisdom comes into the church to make known to the church by the revelation of the Holy Ghost, bringing the church in and revealing what day that we're living in. Just the same as Gabriel came to Daniel, the Holy Spirit comes to the church in the last days to reveal these great deep secret things. Do you understand now? You see, we can't understand what's going on today unless the Spirit of God reveals to us from His Word what is happening. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we recognize, Lord, that only through a prophet do you reveal those things, for the Lord God will do nothing unless he reveals it through his servants, the prophets. So, Father, we're grateful that you yourself have come down in this day as you came to Moses. He said, Moses, I have come down to deliver my people, but I want you to go and to do it. And so Moses went to the people with a message. They rejected the message. Pharaoh rejected the message, and God destroyed Egypt. But those children of Israel that believed the message were in Goshen. And when the plague struck Egypt, not one plague struck those that were in Goshen. So may it be again today, Father, that you have come down to deliver your people. You sent forth your message by the lips of your prophet. And those who have believed your prophet will not be harmed by the things which are coming upon the earth, the curses, because we're not under those who are cursed, but we're of those who are blessed. For we have heard the voice and we have believed it. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and give thee peace, and give thee peace, and give thee peace forever. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord make his face shine toward you and give thee peace, and give thee peace and give thee peace forever.
God bless you all.